away we go. Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing. Tom, guess what? We are looking at our first below freezing day of I don't want to say of the year. It would be since
of the season.
Of the season. Perfect. The first since last winter, spring. 31 degrees.
Could happen Tuesday night.
Yeah, after some rain moves through the area. We are having, these temperatures are below normal. We're having a very cool autumn season, which is fine.
Yeah, we're about 5 degrees, I think, below normal.
I don't know if it's going to bode, I don't want to say bode well, but it could mean a very cold winter, but who knows? It is Thursday, December the 8th, 2022, celebrating 12 full years on the radio at the end of this year. Then we launch into Lucky 13 in our 35th year on Tucson TV and radio, the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Zocalo Village Green Things studio, and the radio station is 1030 KVOI, the voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and KVOI.com. The Buckmaster Show live line when we do our telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's welcome now one of our 24 regular contributors to the program, Dr. Robert Hendricks, Associate Professor Emeritus at the University of Arizona College of Education. He's also the former Arizona Top School Superintendent, and he is the former superintendent at Flowing Wells, the Flowing Wells School District. He also is very much involved with Interfaith Community Services, known as ICS, where he is the vice chair. ICS is a Tucson-based organization comprised of over 120 faith communities dedicated to helping people in crisis by providing assistance with food, housing, employment, and health care. Dr. Hendricks, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill, and how about yourself?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. The ICS folks, you and your team, are asking our listeners to consider giving to that organization as part of your Arizona tax credit. I understand there is a special incentive if you give now.
There is, Bill. We actually have an anonymous donor who has put up $150,000 and indicated that anyone who gives for the first time, that they will match the amount donated dollar for dollar. So we're working very hard to try to meet that goal. The deadline is December 31st. So if anyone's interested in donating, you can go on our website.
Is it an easy process?
Very easy process. You just look on the menu and it says, how can I help? And you click on that and very easy. You can use your credit card and donate whatever you're willing to donate. And, you know, one thing that I really, truly believe in this organization is that we have very, very low administrative costs. You know, some charities have very high percentages. We operate with a 7% administrative cost.
That is low.
It's low because we use a huge number of volunteers. And I would say that one of the things that is attractive to people, as I've talked to people about donating, is that our goal is self-sufficiency. It's just simply not handing out food or providing services for people who are going to come back time and time again. We really want to get people back on their feet. And I think that's a really apolitical statement that no matter where you come from and your political affiliation, I find people agree with that. Yeah, we want people to be able to help themselves, and we want to help them as much as we can. But, you know, it really does not do much good to continue to give people something month after month without some conditions. And our conditions are we have financial training, we help them with management, we help them with employment, we help them with those things that give them necessary essential tools to get back on their feet.
Do you have regular food? Giveaway. Do you have regular?
Yeah, we're
actually
weekly? The second largest food distribution beyond the community food bank.
Really?
In southern Arizona, and we have 4 locations, and you can see those locations on the website. But they extend from the northwest side to the south side, and we have a mobile food truck. We have produce giveaways. We have a variety of things. Some of them require that you have to qualify because of income level, but there are other things that, like the produce giveaway, anybody can come. And we have cooperative endeavors with some of the farms across the border. Actually, right now we have pallets and pallets of sweet potatoes North Carolina, commodity product, and. We never know what we're going to get in, but lots of things that we want people to take the opportunity to take. And if it's a giveaway, we say take it for yourself, but take it for your neighbor as well. So, again, those dates are posted on the ICS website.
What is your website, ICS.org?
Yes, it's ICS.org.
Okay, well, that's simple enough.
Okay.
All right, let's talk a little bit about education. There'll be new leaders at the top of state government. We'll have a Democratic governor. We'll have a superintendent of public instruction who is a Republican, who is very familiar with the office. He served 2 terms, Tom Horn. Then you'll have Governor Hobbs, and you'll have a Republican legislature. So the old checks and balances,
Dr.
Hendricks.
Well, it sounds like a recipe for conflict.
Yes, it does,
and,
doesn't it?
Continue that tension.
Yeah.
I know that our governor is going to have a very pro-public education agenda. It appears that our state superintendent and I know and respect Superintendent Horn. I mean, he has some experience, which I think he can lend to the position.
Were you still at Flowing Wells when he was superintendent, or were you over at the U of A?
I was over at the U of A.
Okay.
And so I met with him on many occasions.
Sure.
And he is a person who believes in educational standards.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is obviously important. He has some other political areas that might deviate from my position, but I think he's a person that hopefully can work with the new governor, even though they're of different parties, and work with the legislature as well. The state superintendent of public instruction position doesn't, and I'm sure he would disagree with this, have a lot of power or authority. It's kind of a bully pulpit. He can represent public education in the state, but obviously he would have greater strength of leadership in guiding things with a Republican legislature, which appears is going to be that. So. You know, hopefully he can get along with the governor and they can come together with some bipartisan agreements on things.
Of course, he has this history, a very checkered history with TUSD, and TUSD is very vocal about, you know, they welcomed Mr. Horn to see the new TUSD from the last time he was superintendent.
There's a new leadership in TUSD since Mr. Horn.
And, sure.
And hopefully... you know, they can either make amends or start from scratch and see what they can do to move forward. I hope that it's going to be a positive relationship.
All right. Before we take the break, you spent a lot of time over doing some sabbatical teaching in China. What's your take on this academic freedom, all the ongoing problems there with censorship?
Well, I did spend a sabbatical as an associate professor at Nanjing University, and I visited mainland China as well as Hong Kong many, many, many times. And censorship is a touchy subject, particularly in the academic world, because if you are a citizen in China, you don't have complete access, open access to the internet. And if you're going to be an academic scholar, if you're going to be a professor, if you're going to be a student at the university, you have to have the opportunity to do research, to be able to have access to anything that's literally of a scholarly nature. And unfortunately, that is blocked. Now, having said that, I will also tell you that many students have ways to work
around
that firewall.
Work around.
And they do.
Yeah.
And it's somewhat comical, but I can tell you that I had students who would tell me, well, Dr. Hendricks, if you want to get around the firewall, be happy to help you do that. I politely declined because you never know who's watching.
Yep.
And I can tell you a lot of people were watching. When you're over there for any length of time, you have to register your passport with the military police. Oftentimes, I had minders or people who would be members of the Communist Party who would attend my lectures.
Oh.
And hopefully they were there to learn as well as the other students that were in the class. But I have also a question as to whether I had said something that was out of bounds that I might have had visits from other people. Yeah. Interesting prospect.
All right. Before we take the break and talk about Mona's, we have a listener who wants us to repeat the website for perhaps giving a donation.
I think it's ICS.org, but if you Google.
Let me double check it.
Let's double check that. If you Google it, you want to Google ICS Tucson because it's Interfaith Community Services. And Bill, if you check that, I want to make sure that we get that properly.
Okay, I got the proper email on the proper website. It's www, of course, .icstucson.org, and that will
great
get folks there, and they can learn more about Interfaith Community Services, and they can make a donation. So that sounds good.
Thank you,
good.
Bill. I appreciate having the opportunity to talk about it.
Oh, you're welcome. All right, I want to talk about our favorite bakery, Dr. Hendricks. You know what it is.
I do.
It's Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. We've been talking about a Danish Kringle would go beautifully on Christmas morning or Christmas Eve morning or really any time over the holidays. Well, it would go right now. It's a great time. I could use a piece of Danish Kringle. Mona is located northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. They're open right now for lunch. They do a great lunch. They also, of course, have those beautiful signature breakfasts along with the wonderful pastries. 6:30, they open Tuesday through Saturday, 7 o'clock on Sunday. They're off on Monday, well-deserved day off, and the website's looking real good. They've redone that. It's Mona's Danish Bakery, spelled out, .org. More with Dr. Robert Hendricks. Then coming up at 12:30, Steve Rivera talking about his new book, Lessons from Lute, talking about the legendary coach, Lute Olson. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, My air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com. Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau, serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Green Things ready for Christmas, poinsettia capital of Arizona. They grew 20,000. Can you beat that? I mean, that's a lot of warehouses with a lot of plants, and they've got some beautiful ones for you. And also their sister business, Zocalo Village, which is on site at 3384 East River Road. You would be surprised how many beautiful holiday-themed items they have over at Zocalo Village. Here are the websites, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. They're open daily. They're in there. Well, they started business. Green Things has been around, as they say, they didn't get off the bus yesterday. They've been around since 1970. Let's continue now our conversation with our education contributor, Dr. Robert Hendricks. This situation with the social media and every kid has a device. Are some schools saying, please, no more, not please, but they're actually banning cell phones from campus?
They are, and I think that horse has already been let out of the barn.
Yep.
In the sense that schools, in my opinion, are going to have to find another way to deal with it versus banning, because obviously parents have some safety concerns and want students to have access to telephones or smartphones. And I talked to my daughter yesterday. She's a teacher, a middle school teacher in North Carolina, and she indicated that in their school district, they do allow children to bring phones, but they have to be put on silent and they have to be kept in their backpack during the course of the day.
That seems reasonable.
It is reasonable. And she said, there are some teachers that are a little lax about that, but she said it's really, it's a safety thing that the school district basically has agreed upon with parents. The other thing she mentioned that I had not thought of is she said, with permission, students are allowed to use their phone for taking pictures of assignments or other things that might be educationally related. But she said, other than that, there's no social opportunity for them to use it during the course of the day.
So trying to work the in any kind of education-related
correct
way to use
correct
the cell phone.
And many school districts now provide, at least in the classroom, laptop access. And so students are able to do that. But my concern, Bill, with the phone is that, you know, some of the applications that are out there. Now, we hear a lot about Facebook. We hear a lot about Twitter. But these are not the applications that teenagers are using. These are really the old people, the older people, the older generation use that. You know, we see the political motivation and some of the other things. But, you know, the ones that are in particular that I think we need to watch are Snapchat,
mm-hmm,
which is basically one where children can take pictures of themselves or they can look at pictures of other people. They can look at experiences and so forth. But the other thing that's really interesting about Snapchat is that you can see where your friends are. You can see who your friends are hanging out with. And you can see which individuals are being excluded.
Hmm.
Now, talk about a mental health dilemma.
That is a big issue.
A big issue. Another one is Instagram.
Hmm.
Where you can post photos of any topic, and you know, other individuals can post. You know, you can post yourself, but you can look at oftentimes what could be idealized experiences that are sometimes photoshopped or other kinds of things. Unfortunately, this presents a situation where children can look through the lives of others and make some judgments about their own condition, and this can also lead to issues. But the one I think is the big elephant in the room is TikTok.
Yep.
Okay. Mm. It allows students to endlessly scroll through any variety of topics, whatever their current obsessions might be, and sometimes they can be very dark, and they can be very damaging. And the problem is that they can communicate with anybody, anywhere, anytime, without parents even knowing what's going on. So you ask the question, what can a parent do? Well, the easy answer is, well, parents need to be vigilant, but it is also very easy, Bill, for teenagers to hide things in social media. There are apps that actually will mask the content of what they're looking at. So, for example, there's one app that will hide photos behind a music video. There's another one that's designed as a calculator, but if you know the code, you can go beyond the calculator and all of this stuff is hidden. Also, some apps have multiple passwords. So the child might give the parent a password,
yeah,
with certain content information. There's another password that will enter into a much more questionable place.
Mm. And so we had a one of our listeners just messaged me, a former K-12 teacher, saying cell phones were the number one problem that this former teacher dealt with. And the teacher says they will use them, and enforcing a ban is not fun nor efficient. That's from a teacher, former teacher.
And I agree. Yeah. You know, it isn't efficient. And I think there is, you know, coming from a university environment,
mm-hmm,
where you see the phones out on the desk or underneath, you know, students looking at sports scores and all sorts of things during the class.
Oh, boy.
And it's like,
talk about,
how do you really
so
control that? It's,
yeah,
it's impossible
and
to
it's
control.
Very, it's so distracting, I'm sure, for the professor or
right
the teacher to be seeing
But the last thing I want to say about TikTok is, mm-hmm, that It is the number one data mining application. In other words, first of all, the foundation of TikTok comes from China, talking about China earlier.
Yep.
They are able to track everything an individual does on TikTok, and they sell it to third parties. And we don't know where this information is going. Now, we know YouTube sells their information to Google, but and that may be questionable enough. But with TikTok, we don't know where this information is going, but we do know that they can track individually who's using, who's what they're looking at, what they choose to look like, look at. There's algorithms that will direct students to certain subjects based on what they're looking at. And so when they turn off the system and they put it back on, it's going to direct them just to those particular topics. So it's very manipulative. It's technologically dangerous. And we don't have a clue.
All right, Dr. Robert Hendricks, hope you and yours have a lovely holiday season. Thank you for all you do for our program. We're very much appreciative.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, Steve Rivera coming up next, talking about Lute Olson, Lessons from Lute, Steve's new book. That's next, right after this.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. It's great to welcome back an old friend. He is the co-host of Eye on the Ball, which is on Fox Sports Radio 1450 from 3 to 5 in the afternoon. And Steve Rivera is with me in studio. And Steve had his Eye on the Ball show radio show here for a while on KVOI. Actually, this is where Eye on the Ball was launched, right, Steve?
Look, cut my chops right here, my teeth right here. It was a lot of fun here.
Yeah, it's great to see you. 35 years in this market, came over to Tucson, was hired originally as a sports writer for the Tucson Citizen after coming as an intern at the big paper in Dallas, right?
That is exactly correct. 1987, I think of it fondly. I was a skinny little kid. I'm no longer skinny.
Had you ever been to Tucson?
Oh, yes. I was an intern in 1985. I loved it. I was an intern at the Arizona Daily Star. I love hot more than I love cold, so Tucson's perfect.
Greg Hansen helped you out probably early on.
He had just gotten here about 2 or 3 years before.
Wow. Six books. The newest book is about the University of Arizona men's basketball program and about the legendary coach, Lute Olson. The name of the book is Lessons from Lute. It's a feel-good book about Lute through really his players. The eyes of his players. So
correct.
How did this whole project begin?
Well, Lute's gone. I've been gone a little over 2 years. He passed away in 2020, late August, and everyone mourned his loss. Obviously, there was a memorial a year later, and someone approached me. A friend of mine approached me and said, "Had you ever thought about writing a book on Lute?" A book on Lute, and I said, yeah, but not really. It's kind of too soon for me, or whatever. And he says, well, you should. And I'm thinking, okay. I pitched the book to my previous publisher from my last book, Anthony Jimeno, and I, and said, let me talk to 25 people and see what they say about him, and kind of like love letters to Lute, pretty much, and their thoughts of being with him, how he influenced them, and some of the great memories each of them had.
So you spoke with 25 people?
25 people directly, called them up. It was a task. It took me about 8 months, 9 months. That was my deadline. And it went to the last moment. My last guy was Sean Elliott, difficult guy to get a hold of. But it was great. I talked to one of the greatest player in Iowa history, maybe, when he coached him at Iowa, Ronnie Lester, Coach Roy Williams, Coach Montgomery from Stanford. A lot of different people, and the rest were either players or managers who were very close to him.
So obviously each individual would have a different take on him, but what was kind of something that you heard over and over, Steve?
Well, there was without question, he was a very, I won't say tough, but he demanded perfection from his players.
Mm-hmm.
And where that was learned was in practice. You learn what you're going to learn in the game Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You displayed what you learned Thursday and Saturday. So it's practice, practice, practice. Have at it those games.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll let you play unless you kind of deviate from what we had practiced. That, and they had this undying love for him, a major respect, kind of like playing for your grandfather. And I say this all the time, and I say this jokingly. The guys felt like they were playing for his grandfather, and the last person you want to disappoint on this earth is your grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
And they did not want to disappoint him.
So they really wanted to please this man.
Without question, because
yeah.
he meant a lot to them, and it's not that he had their future in his hands, but they knew if they listened to him, they would have something beyond U of A.
Mm-hmm. And were they critical of him in being too much of a taskmaster?
That's a great question. No one's asked me. That's a great question. They were aware that that was the case. Let me just say that. In fact, they'd go to practice, not so much dreading practice, but dreading that it's going to be a tough practice. That makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Muehlbach in his chapter talked about it with another teammate, and the teammate was a freshman, I think it was, and they were at practice, and the other guy was dreading it, and Matt said, wait till tomorrow's, because today's one thing, tomorrow will be another.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just how you had to understand it.
Did Lute have a sense of humor?
Good question. A very dry one. And I'm sure he had it different with his good friends like Paul Whiteman, in mm-hmm. fact, who's a part of the book, where he could kind of loosen up and be Lute every now and again. And I think the kids or the players found that once they left the program, because he was coach.
Mm-hmm.
Coach for 4 or 5 years, right? You don't get close to coach.
Mm-hmm.
It's very tough to kind of touchy-feely. He wasn't that guy. But once you left the program, I'm sure he displayed that because he could joke around with them then.
I interviewed Coach Olson on a couple of occasions, spent a half an hour on several times, once on the radio, once on TV. And he talked on one of the interviews with me, Steve, a lot about South Dakota, I think it was, or was it North Dakota, and his childhood.
Yeah.
He had a pretty stern childhood.
Yes, well, his father passed at a young age. I think his brother did as well, working on the farm. It was very difficult, him and his mom. I think he worked as a child. His mom worked a job or two helping him raise them. And it's cold, right? It's yeah. very difficult, yeah. Tough up there. But he found a way to persevere. And it was through sports. He was a heck of an athlete at Augsburg College up in that area.
How does the Lute Olson style, kind of what some would say, I guess, old school, yeah. does it still translate in this environment?
That's a great question, too. You're full of them today there, Bill.
I'm really pulling them out right.
Questions I haven't heard before.
Good.
We talked about this on the show yesterday. Today's kids, not that they need to be coddled, but they need to be coddled for whatever reason. And, you know, when you recruit players in high school, you say you're the next best thing since sliced bread, and they feel that. Come to Arizona, come to UCLA, come to that. When they get there, they realize they're not. You know why? Because Jimmy Bob next to me is pretty good, too.
Sure.
So now you have 15 of these guys who are competing for five spots. In basketball and football, there's other things. But does it work? I think it could, but not to the degree it used to. Because we're going to see this at the University of Colorado, now that Deion Sanders is there. He's got a lot of that. So we'll see. It's my way or the highway, and see if it works.
And it's a social media-driven young person. And, you know, ASU with the football program just hired, I think, the youngest Division I football coach, a 32-year-old guy.
Exactly.
And you might see more of this in college sports now, going younger, that can relate to the kids.
Without question. In fact, we had the Coach Rubio on a week or so ago, and he talked about that. He's in his 60s now, early 60s maybe, been around about 30-some years, and he said it's difficult, the transition or the today's world. Even though he looks young and acts young, he's not young, and he has to kind of coach to the players. You know, back in the day, the players had to adjust to the coach.
Yeah.
It's totally opposite now.
Yeah.
Coaches have to adjust to the players, which is very strange, isn't it?
Yeah, it is very strange. One more question before we take the break about Lute and the whole transfer portal, which has changed the whole landscape of college sports. I wonder, you know, Lute probably demanded loyalty from his players. When they came in, Lute was expecting, I guess, a four-year program. You were going to be with him. You know, you come in as a freshman. This transfer portal, I wonder how that would have played with Lute Olson.
I don't think he would have liked it.
No.
However, it worked both ways. If you remember back in the early 90s, late 80s, Brian Williams came in from Maryland. He was a transfer that came in. Chris Mills came in from somewhere else, Kentucky, to come in. So he received some pretty good transfers. Some of the guys who have left, and actually Damon talks about this, about one of the players who left in the early 90s, I think it was. And most of the guys who leave don't end up playing anywhere or being very prominent somewhere else. What they weren't were patient. They were not patient enough to stick around to get the guidance from Lute to move on, if that makes any sense. So they were very frustrated early. And had they stuck around, they would have been very good players. Instead, they wanted to go somewhere early and get that playing time and perform, which is probably, we live in a get rich quick type of thing. And back then it was even maybe at the beginning of it that they needed to be more patient. Would he have liked it though? Probably not.
No.
That and the NIL. The NIL, I think, would have been
the whole likeness thing, being paid image, for the likeness.
Where they get paid a lot of money. And
yeah.
Bill, how do you coach a guy who's making $250,000?
Yeah. I'm not quite sure how that, maybe we can talk a little bit about that likeness thing after the break, but I'm not really sure how it works. Do they have to disclose
Yeah, it comes to the U of A. I'm sure there are other issues with that, but the issue, U of A knows where the money's come from.
All right. Steve Rivera is with us talking about his new book, Lessons from Loot. Where is the book available, Steve, right now?
It's in bookstores. It just came out maybe 3.5 weeks ago. It's in bookstores, or you can get it online. Just Google it at Triumph Books, or get it from me. I'm benefiting from it. I can sign it to whomever you need to during Christmas. Steve.Rivera95@gmail.com. Send me a note. I'll put it in the mail. It's the same price, either bookstore or with me.
All right. We'll talk some more with you, Steve, right after the break.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com. Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rieto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
One of our fine sponsors here on the Buckmaster Show, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We send so many of our listeners to that beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment, only about a 3-hour drive, depending on where you're leaving from in the Tucson area. Just head east, basically, on I-10, take a left at Lordsburg, then head up to Silver City. Lots to do, a lot of outdoor activities. Some really good eating, too, now in downtown Silver City. and some great places to stay. You can find out more at southwestnewmexico.org. Steve Rivera is with us. Steve, a native, you're a native of the Land of Enchantment. Didn't you grow up in Santa Fe?
I did. You're saying that, and I'm going to have a tear in my eye thinking about the great food.
You love New Mexico.
I love it. I do. I love the food.
Other than Tucson, that's kind of your second favorite place. You go back up to Santa Fe.
Very often, yes.
Steve is the co-host of Eye on the Ball on Fox Sports. 1450. He's on from 3 to 5 in the afternoon. That talk show now, he's been doing it for a couple of years. He did a Eye on the Ball really launched here on KVOI. Then he went over to Fox Sports. He's now have 35 years in the market. Same as me. 1988 is when I came, first week of January. How about you?
Summer of 87.
Oh, 87. So you got me.
Just a few months.
Yeah, beaten by a few months. Your sixth book is about the legendary coach, Lute Olson, Lessons from Lute. You interviewed a lot of former players. I think you said 25, right?
Yes, 25 for his 25 years.
We talked a little bit about the transfer portal, and I want to leave basketball for a moment. The University of Arizona, third year under Coach Fish, they've lost about 16 players into the transfer portal. Is that about what Coach Fish was expecting?
Yes, it was. In fact, he starts his third year coming up. He just finished his second year.
That's right. Okay.
So yes, in fact, that's kind of surprised me last week after the ASU victory.
Right.
He mentioned this in the press conference that he thought he'd be losing 15, 16 people. And I'm thinking, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. And then days later, some of the key guys actually left. And I'm thinking, wow. Mm-hmm. Wow in a big way. Mm-hmm. Singer being probably the most prominent, a guy who was fantastic, a wide receiver who did a lot of great things for them.
Why would Singer leave?
We talked about this recently on the show, and more so probably for NIL money, potential NIL money.
For the likeness money.
Mm-hmm, because it's not known how much is being given here. I know that the quarterback, Delora, and T-Mac each received a nice brand new car, truck, a week or so ago. And who knows what Singer was received, or maybe he felt slighted or whatever. We won't know. It's hard to speculate because we don't know.
Yeah.
And could it be anything? Maybe more visibility somewhere else for a better team? A team that could go to the bowl games in the future?
Yeah.
Hard to say.
I was very disappointed that the Wildcats had a lackluster performance against Washington State when if they had put a real, it didn't look like they were really ready to play that day. If they had won that game, they'd be in a bowl game right now.
Right.
That's huge.
Right. Well, you know, Bill, you've been in this business a long time, and I say this often, every day is a season.
Yeah.
If you don't show up for that season, you're going to get beat on that season.
Yep.
They had just come off the UCLA big win. Mm-hmm. Imagine how UCLA feels about Arizona going in there and beating them.
Yeah.
And then Arizona, a week later, losing to Washington State at home.
Mm-hmm.
A very strange, odd, and but to me, almost predictable because you have these highs of highs and then these lows of lows.
Mm-hmm. But if we often say in this business, and I heard it very early in my career, you are only as good as your last show, which when I was in TV, it was TV, or now it's radio. And the same translates really to sports, doesn't it?
Without question. And I heard it even differently. You're as good as your last haircut, you know, in TV.
That's right.
In TV, because you got to look good all the time. Without question. It goes day to day, and it fluctuates because what I learned in college sports is if you don't have the emotional highs that you need, you're going to get beat by somebody who has more emotional highs.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the post-Lute Olson era. How has the basketball team, give me the 30,000 foot level, looking down over the years since Lute has left, how would you say the University of Arizona basketball team has done and is perceived nationally?
Well, if you're going to grade Lute, it would have to be an A-, and that's the overall, right?
Sure.
A-, B-plus, right?
For how many years?
For 25 years.
That's right, 25.
A lot of victories. The ending was not what he would have liked it, obviously, but fantastic years. And A- would probably be more generous and accurate. So Sean comes in and stays 11, 12 years, had this great early love affair with Arizona and the people of it. He was not close to the people of Arizona, and at the end it fizzled away. I'd have to give him a B minus, whatever. He was a shot or two from the Final Four, and we talk about this often with my friends. Had a guy hit a couple of three pointers in 2011, and in 2014. They would have gone to the Final Four.
Sean,
his legacy would have changed.
He didn't seem to feel comfortable in Tucson.
No, not at all. Even if he wasn't showing it.
Yeah.
And he wasn't a mingler in the town.
Yeah.
And that's the guy. That's who the guy needs to be.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and I, in my column that I wrote when he left, I really didn't know how to describe his legacy. A lot of wins. But not to the degree that Arizona fans expect it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Did not go to a Final Four. Made to a couple of Elite Eights, three Elite Eights, I think it was. But there needs to be more. And that's maybe selfish on the Tucsonans' part, but that's what they've come to love and learn. And now Tommy, I think, has revisited or revitalized the fan base. He plays a lot like Lute.
He seems to be a good fit here.
Perfect fit. A lot like Lute. He's out in the public. He's affable. He says what he feels. And like he says, he's a paycheck-to-paycheck guy. He's exactly that. Exactly that. Isn't Tucson a paycheck-to-paycheck town?
You know, it is. And one of the things that's really, getting back again to football, that really surprised me after they let Coach Tomey go, which was the biggest mistake in probably University of Arizona college football history. One of the things that surprised me is how out of touch the ADs were the hires that they made in the football program. This is a town. Coach Tomey was perfect for this town. You'd run into him in the supermarket. Hey, Coach, how are you? How are we going to do this week against the Huskies or whoever? He'd stop and talk to you. That's Tucson.
Without question. That's what it's become. It's a friendly town. It's a giving town. It's a forgiving town. And there was a tough stretch there for Dick Tomey in 2000. And Jim Livengood let go. It hasn't been the same since.
No.
And maybe it's the curse of.
Yeah. But it's starting to feel like it could be the same.
It could be. There's a lot of feel good left or now.
We haven't mentioned your other books. What kind of subjects are the other five books?
Well, it's all about Arizona basketball. They say write what you love, write what you know. My first one was when they won the 97 title. My third one was fantastic in that it was a blue book. It was one of those picture books with a lot of fun things in them, with big games, all that. And then my last one, who we've talked about a time or two with Anthony Gimeno, 100 Things Arizona Fans Need to Know Before They Die.
You know, going back to 97, that golden run, so many things Steve Rivera had to go right and did. It was just such a long shot year. And people love long shots. That's what almost makes that year the mystical kind of championship.
Without question. Fifth in the league. Fifth in the league. They almost lost the first round against South Alabama. I joked with A.J. Brown recently that they won the title there because you know how the first rounds are.
Sure.
If you don't, they've lost many, right?
Yeah.
They win that one. And the rest was kind of almost easy, although they went to overtime a couple times.
All right, let's carve out 30 seconds. We've only got a minute left for the show. Where people can get your book, Lessons from Lute.
Yes, bookstores in Tucson, online. Just Google Triumph Books, Lessons from Lute. Or email me, find me on Facebook or whatever, Steve Rivera. But it's steve.rivera95@gmail.com. I'll gladly send me a note. I'll gladly stick it in the mail and sign it to whoever you need me to sign it to.
And there's no extra cost for that.
It's what it is, taxed about $31. It's a $28 book plus shipping, $31.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Have a wonderful holiday season, Steve Rivera.
Thank
Always
you
a pleasure. Great seeing you again, Steve.
Great questions, Bill. You should do this for a living.
Okay, I've been around. As they say, didn't get off the bus yesterday. Thanks, Steve. Have a great holiday. On behalf of Steve Rivera and our good friend, Mr. Tom Fairbanks, on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster, saying we'll do it all tomorrow, do it all over again in 23 hours.